during lunch, and he suddenly fainted. His heart stopped for about 3 minutes, and at one point he stopped breathing. Now, someone in this congregation, later on that day, made an inappropriate comment by referring to Mr. Liu as the dead guy, to which I want to respond by saying two things. First, Mr. Liu is not dead. After the cardiac arrest, he was sent to the Northwest Hospital and slowly recovering from his illness. And we hope that by God's grace, he'll recover soon. And second, Mr. Liu is not just some guy. He's a husband, he's a father, and since he's 80, I assume that he's a grandfather as well. But most importantly, he is our brother in Christ here at SFCC. So whoever referred to Mr. Liu as a dead guy must understand that such remark is not only inappropriate and offensive, it is also very rude and disrespectful to the Liu family and consequently to the rest of the SFCC community. We do not tolerate such behavior here, let alone anywhere else. And that's why it's necessary for me to bring this up as a pastor, but not only because I'm a pastor, but as a disciple of Jesus, I believe we're better than that. So whoever you are, I hope that you learn from your mistake. I hope that you repent of your ways and begin to show some respect to your brothers and sisters, especially the seniors in this church. And this goes for everyone who comes to SFCC community. And I'm not so much talking about honoring the seniors alone, but I'm honoring each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. If we can't even do that, then why are we here in the first place? Why calling ourselves Christians? If we want to be the light and the salt to the rest of the world, then let us continue to encourage one another to love and to respect. This means we must be free to discipline and to correct one another if we have wronged each other in any way. Jesus says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciple. So if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then prove it with your words and deeds. So I just want to throw this out to you guys before the sermon starts, all right? So having said that, let's now turn to our passage for today from Ephesians. I will be speaking from chapter 6, verse 5 to verse 9. And you can see from your bulletin that I entitled today's sermon as Christ-Centered Work. Christ-Centered Work. And I want to encourage you to have your Bible ready. If you don't have a Bible, please have it ready because we'll be looking at other passages as well. Maybe the usher can, bring a few copies. But if not, you can see the Bible, in front of the pew. But just have a Bible, have a copy of the Bible with you for today's sermon. All right? And before we read the passage today, let me just say that some of the key points for today's sermon is based on the sermon preached by a pastor by the name of Coy Wiley. And a lot of what he said on this particular topic really encouraged me and really spoke to my heart. And I believe that is a word of encouragement to many of you who are working today. And therefore, after I digested and reflected upon that sermon, I want to share some of the things that I learned from that sermon to you guys. So I just want to say that first, right? So with that being said, let's begin by reading from verse 5 of chapter 6 in Ephesians. Let's read it together. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you will obey Christ. Obey them, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not man. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with them. The word of the Lord. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you for the constant reminder that no matter what we do, whether it's at home, whether it's in school, whether it's at work, we ought to do it for you and for you alone. This is to be true in all areas of our lives, especially in the work setting. Therefore, please use this passage to speak to each of us. Help us to learn of your will in our lives so that we may learn how to best honor you and bring you glory. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, today's message, as you guys have already heard, is about work. It's about work. How many of you guys are working today, right now? Either it's summer job, either it's, you know, you're starting a new job, or you're, you know, either, you know, maybe you're in school, you're working too in that sense, right? So work is related to everybody. After we finish school, we spend the majority of our life working. I know a lot of people, they work half of their life, you know, just on their jobs. I know some people work like one third, but a lot of people just simply work. If you don't work, you don't get paid, and you don't get to eat. That's a necessity of life. But sadly, though, when it comes to work, a lot of people live with the attitude, oh, thank God it's Friday. You know that attitude? Thank God it's Friday. Why? Because a lot of people don't like their jobs. Seldom do we hear people saying, well, thank God it's Monday. I can't wait to get to work. You know, maybe some people do in this congregation. But most people that I know of, like, oh, I don't want to go to work. Right? Well, today my goal is to help you guys and help myself to see from the scripture that God has a different plan regarding work. In fact, according to the passage that we just read, we'll see that he wants us to take our job and he wants us to love it. It's like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. You guys know that, you know, particular classic from Disney, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I don't know if you remember, but in the movie, there was a scene where the little dwarfs, they would march off to work every single day, and they would sing the song, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work I go." And they were like, they're so, you know, energetic. They have so much enthusiasm. But of course, later I learned that the reason why they were so happy is because they had a diamond mine in which the diamonds are like size of a golf ball, you know. So that's why they're so happy. But still, regardless of what we do for work, God has some practical words of advice for us. And a lot of what Paul said about the relationship between slaves and masters can directly apply to our work today. So as we look at the passage today, I want us to ask ourselves two questions. First, how will we work if Jesus were my boss? How will we work if Jesus was our boss? Second, how will we boss? How will we manage? How will we take care of our employees if Jesus were to work for us? Okay, so two questions. Jesus, our boss, or Jesus, our employee? Okay? In other words, the passage that we just read will show us first how to be Christ-centered employees, and then also how to be Christ-centered employers. Okay? Christ-centered employees and Christ-centered employers. So let us begin by looking at what Christ-centered employees look like. Okay? And please follow along with me. You can see inside your bulletin that I put the sermon outline for you to follow along. So here's the first principle, and feel free to write it down and fill that blank. Here's the first principle for all of you employees out there, right? All of you employees. And that is, we are to be respectful workers. We're to be respectful workers. Okay? Now, look at the first part of verse 5 with me again, where it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear. You guys see that? Obey your earthly masters with respect and fear. This means we are to obey those who have authority over us at work. This, of course, does not mean that you are to kiss up to your boss, you know, every single day, and, you know, with the fear that, you know, one stupid move is going to get you fired. No, it's not like that. Paul says you are to respect, you are to show reverence to your boss because your boss's position and authority. This is what biblical submission is about. Now, some of you might be thinking at this point, well, Pastor Walt, you don't understand. My boss is mean. My boss is cruel. He's not worthy of my respect. Well, I know that a lot of people, you know, your bosses or your supervisors are not very nice. But still, the scripture doesn't say respect your boss or your master only if he is respectable. Instead, it says you are to respect your boss regardless. You see, when Paul first penned down the scriptures that we just read, a lot of the Christians in the first centuries, they had masters who are not Christians. So in the same way, I assume that a lot of you guys, when you go to work, your bosses are not committed believers as well. But notice the word Paul uses here. He says, obey your earthly masters. You guys see that? Obey your earthly masters. Not spiritual, but earthly masters. Meaning spiritually, emotionally, or even intellectually, your boss has no authority over you. But we must respect our boss and render to him or her what we owe, which is really a good day's work. That's what we need to do with our bosses. Now, if you can, I'd like you to turn with me to another passage in the New Testament. Now, this is a time for you to turn to your Bible, right? Please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And if you're there, let us read one verse together, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's read verse 1 together. I'll let you guys flip through that, you know. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you guys are there, please nod so that I know you guys are ready. You guys good? All right, let's do it. Let's read verse 1. And who are all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Now, this verse seems to suggest that some Christians in the first century, they were hindering the work of the gospel by not being respectful to their masters, right? But then move on to the next verse with me. And this time, let me read it to you. It's a little longer, right? Let me read it to you. Where it says, those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them. These are the things you are to teach and urge on them. So here's the instruction regarding a non-Christian boss versus a Christian boss. If your boss is not a Christian, then this is God's instruction for you. You are to honor and respect him or her, not only for your sake, but also for the sake of the gospel. But if your boss happens to be a committed believer of Jesus Christ, then you are to honor him or her all the more. Because not only is that person your boss, he or she is also your brother or sister in the Lord. So here's the first characteristic of what Christ-centered employees look like. Right? That's the first one. That is to be respectful workers. Now, let's go to the second one. And that is, we are to be sincere workers. We're to be sincere workers. I'll let you write that down for now. We're to be sincere workers. Now, go to the second part of verse 5 with me, right? Where it says, we are to obey our masters with sincerity of heart, just as you will obey Christ. Just as you will obey Christ. Now, when we use the word sincerity, it carries this idea of serving without hypocrisy. This means a Christ-centered employee, that person is to give their employer sincere and honor service. This means we're not to appear respectable on the surface, but then badmouth our boss from behind. Why? Because Paul says when we work, when we serve our employers, we're really serving Jesus himself. You know, Jesus is really our boss. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, this is a revolutionary idea, isn't it, at the workplace? What does it mean to work as if Jesus was our boss? Well, this means if you're a cook, then cook it as if Jesus would eat it. If you clean, then clean like Jesus would stay there. If you administrate, you know, in the company, then treat it like it's Jesus' business. If you sell, then sell like you're selling to Jesus. If you serve customers, then serve like if you were to serve Jesus. If you are a physician, you're a doctor, then treat and take care of your patient as you were treating Jesus himself. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, I know a lot of you guys in this room, you guys are either engineers, software programmers, or computer-related kind of thing. You guys work for Microsoft. You guys work for Boeing and whatnot. Well, this means if you are writing programs, then write it as if Jesus were would use it. If you are a lead of a team project, then lead your people the way Jesus leads his disciples, with care and with patience. If you are a consultant and you spend a lot of time with your clients, then treat your clients as if you were treating Jesus himself. Now, listen to these words from Colossians 3:23. You don't have to go there. Just listen to these words. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for man. So the question we need to ask ourselves at work constantly is, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And I know this whole WWJD is like very old school and everything, but it is nevertheless a really good reminder for all of us, no matter what we do for a living. What would Jesus do if he were in my shoes? What would Jesus do if I were to sell insurance to people? If I were to quote people the price? What would Jesus do if I were to sell them a product? What would Jesus do if I were to, treat people, with the medical skills that I have? What would Jesus do? Well, Paul says you are to be sincere workers in that area. So that's the second characteristic. All right? Am I going too fast? Are you guys with me? Okay, let's go to the next one. And that is, we are to be faithful workers. We're to be faithful workers. Now, look at verse 6 with me, where Paul says, obey them, or slaves, obey your masters, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. In other words, when we work, we do not try to work harder only when the boss is looking. Like the boss is coming, so you try to type, oh, yeah, he's coming. Not like that, And there are a lot of employees who are all action when the boss is around, but when the boss is out of sight, you don't see any energy in them. You don't see any heart or any enthusiasm in them anymore. But Paul says, we are not to obey our bosses as to win their favor when their eyes are on us. Instead, we are to work hard regardless of whether the boss is looking at us or not. Remember the parable of the talents, which Jesus talked about? The man who received 5 talents, he worked very hard when the master was away. So did the person with 2 talents. Now remember what happened to the person with 1 talent. What did he do? Well, he wasted his opportunity. And remember when the master came back, what did he say to that servant? He said, you are a wicked and lazy servant. Now, no one has ever been both faithful to God and lazy at the same time. You cannot be both faithful and lazy at the same time. It's not possible. So whatever the job, Christians ought to stand out from the rest of the world. Employers should recognize Christians not only for their honesty, not only for their integrity, but also for the effort that they put in, for the hard work. And whatever the job, if we who claim to be following Jesus, if we do not give all that we have, then guess what? We are in sin. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, this does not mean that we are to be consumed by our work. For the Bible talks a lot about, against pursuing wealth and a career instead of God's glory. And being a workaholic is not faithfulness, it's selfishness. But at the same time, Paul is saying what Paul is saying here is the attitude that we carry when we go to work. For we are to work as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from our heart. While other employees, they may work half-heartedly, but as believers, we should always put our hearts into the work that we do and do it well. Why? Because we are ultimately working for God. And our work reflects God, reflects the Lord. Now, some of you might be saying at this point, well, Pastor Walt, you're a pastor. And therefore, all you do, you naturally do it for God. God is your boss, right? And then I'm in this secular world. I'm in this tiny office. What I do is insignificant to God's glory. Well, that is one big, fat lie. All you guys out there, all you guys who have a job, do you guys know that you represent Jesus to the world way better than I do? Do you guys know that you are a minister in your workplace, that you can reach the non-Christians way better than I can ever do? As a pastor, my job and my role is to simply equip you guys through the Bible so that you can go out there in the world and represent Jesus. You guys are playing the games. I'm not playing the game. I'm simply the coach, cheering and screaming for, yeah, go guys! But you guys are playing the game. That pumps me up. You guys are literally being light and salt to the rest of the world. And work that is truly Christian is work well done. And Christians should always do good work. They ought to be the best workers wherever they are. They ought to have the best attitude, the best integrity, and be the best in dependability. So guys, no matter what we do for a living, we are to be faithful workers. That's God's instruction for us. So that's the third characteristic. You guys ready for the fourth one? Let's do it. And that is, we are to be pleasant workers. We're to be pleasant workers. And when you're done, go to verse 7 with me. Verse 7 says, serve wholeheartedly. You guys see that? Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not man. Now, the word wholeheartedly could also be translated as with kindness or with pleasantness. So the New English Bible version would translate the verse this way, and it says, give the cheerful service of those who serve the Lord. Cheerful service. Now this means when we go to work with a good attitude. We go to work with a big smile on our face. Now let me ask you guys this question. How many of you guys love to go out and eat? Okay, pretty much, yeah. Okay, I do too. I love to eat, and I love to go out and eat at, you know, good restaurants. But lately I find myself, I only eat at certain restaurants, not because the food is better, but because their service is better. And the service, they're more courteous, they're more friendly. And I see myself tend to avoid other restaurants that serve better food, but with bad service. I don't know if that happens to you or not, but when the waiter or the waitress there is bad, is known to be bad, I wouldn't go there, no matter what kind of food they have. So in the same way, that is the same attitude when we're to have when we go to work. So let's cut to the chase and get down to what Paul is really saying here. And he's saying that whenever we are at work, if we work just enough to get by, if we have to be poked and pushed to do something, if we show up if we show up and then we're grouchy, we're annoyed, if we're moody, and if we're not dependable, if we exhibit a poor attitude, then this is what Paul is saying here. Then we're violating the scriptures. And we're actually sinning against God. And not only that, we're robbing ourselves of blessings. Look at verse 8 with me, where it says, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. God will reward us when we have that kind of attitude. In the work context, this means even if you did not get that promotion, even if you did not get that raise, even if your boss is mean and unfair and mean-spirited, you are not responsible for your boss. You are ultimately responsible for yourself and for God. So that means when you go to work, go with a good attitude, with pleasantness, and you will receive from the Lord. So that's four different characteristics of Christ-centered employees. And let me simply conclude, this section this way. And that is, being Christ-centered employees, we have to constantly tell ourselves that Jesus is the one that we ultimately work for. And therefore, our work, we're to be respectful, we're to be sincere, we're to be faithful, and we're to be pleasant. Which means, if we cannot do that, then we should really be thinking about other jobs. Why? Because the worst thing that we can do is to stay at a job with poor attitudes. Because by doing so, we're actually giving Jesus a bad name. So that's the first thing we want to, the scripture is teaching us here. Now let's move on to the next verse in which Paul will now address the employers. The employers. Let's go to verse 9. Paul says in verse 9, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. Now, with this verse, at first glance, it seems a little bit unfair to me that Paul devoted four verses to the employees and only one verse to the employers. I mean, it's not true. It's kind of unfair, right? But when we take a closer look, we'll see that Paul is not being unfair at all. Notice Paul says, masters, you are to treat your slaves or your employees in the same way. You guys see that? In the same way. What same way? Well, the same way employees are to treat the bosses, with respect, with sincerity, with faithfulness, and with pleasantness. In other words, Paul is telling the masters to review what he said to the slaves and to do the same thing in their lives as well. You see that? Therefore, we can loosely paraphrase verse 9 this way. Paul is saying to the employers, bosses, did you read what I just said to the employees? You did? Well, good. Here's my word for you. Ditto. Do the same thing. Try to model that in your workplace as well. This means if you are given any kind of authority at work, God's instruction for you is that not only are you to be respectful, sincere, faithful, and pleasant, with your employees, you are to model these qualities with them. You are no better than those who are under you. And the reason why you are at your position is because God has given you that. And God expects you to use your position wisely to make a positive impact on others and to ultimately bring God glory. Now, if you remember this verse from Jesus, he said this in Luke 12. He said that for everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. In other words, if you want gracious employees, if you want gracious followers at work, then you must be a gracious person yourself. There's a quote, a really good quote from Clarence Francis, who oversaw a company by the name of General Foods Corporation. You know, it's a company that oversees and, you know, like makes a lot of cereals that we see at groceries today. But anyways, this is what he said. It's a great quote. I want to read it to you guys. He said, "You can buy a man's time. You can even buy a man's physical presence at a given place. You can even buy a measured number of skilled muscular motions per hour or per day. But you cannot buy enthusiasm. You cannot buy initiative. You cannot buy loyalty. You cannot buy devotion of hearts, minds, and souls. You have to earn these things." And a Christ-centered employer or a person who is under a leadership position is a person who looks after his employees. He or she will earn the hearts of those who are under his or her authority. And not only that, Paul says, employers, bosses, or those who are in leadership positions, you are to give up threatening. Meaning, you are not to use your authority to bully or to intimidate your employees. Instead, be fair. Be honest. Be kind to them. Why? Because Paul says, your master in heaven shows no favoritism as well. So in God's eyes, employers and employees, they're the same. That is the same. It may be different here on earth, but it's the same before from God's perspective. So here's how I will summarize the passage for today. When it comes to work, everybody is going to give an account, especially those who claim to follow Jesus. And some of you guys might be working as a leader in the company. You guys might be a lead in a team project. Or some of you guys might simply be employees in which you're accountable to your supervisor. But no matter what you are or what you do, God's will for you is that you are to work as if you're working for God's glory. You are to work with respect, with sincerity, with faithfulness, with pleasantness. You are to work with excellence because you represent Jesus Christ in your workplace. You are to show the evidence of God having transformed your life in the way that you treat others, in the way that you treat your coworkers. So that's how I would summarize it. Now, last night, a friend sent an online devotional to me. You know, that's related to work. And the title is called How to Do the Job You Don't Really Want. And it's by Elizabeth Elliot. And let me read that devotional to you as a way of ending the sermon today. And the devotional starts out this way. It says, "Certain aspects of the job the Lord has given me to do are very easy to postpone. I make excuses, find other things to take precedence. And when I finally get down to the business to do it, it is not always with much grace. But a new perspective has helped me recently. The job has given to me to do, therefore it is a gift. It is a privilege. It is an offering I may make to God. It is to be done gladly if it is done for Him. It is the root to sanctify. Here, not somewhere else, but here at my workplace, I may learn God's way. In this job, not in some other, God looks for faithfulness. The discipline of this job is, in fact, the chisel God has chosen to shape me with into the image of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the work you have assigned me with. I take it as your gift. I offer it back to you. With your help, I will do it gladly, faithfully, and I will trust you to make me holy." Brothers and sisters, we are called to holy work no matter what you do. Whether you're a doctor, whether you're an engineer, whether you're a software person, whether you're a consultant, whether you're in business, we are all called to holy work. We're called to work in such a way that reflects God's image and goodness here in this world. So as you go off to work tomorrow, wherever you do, do it with respect, do it with sincerity, do it with faithfulness, and do it with wholeheartedness or pleasantness. And ultimately, do it for Jesus, because He is the one whom you ultimately work for. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have sanctified a huge area of our lives. And for many of us in this room, work hasn't been easy. For some, it has been a drag. A lot of people struggle in this place, in this particular area in our lives. But still, we thank you for the word that we just heard, a word of encouragement, a word of blessing, so that we may go back to our workplace with our heads held up high, because we ultimately work for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your teaching. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, today is the second Sunday of the month, and which means we